The last 4 months, we have been in the Gospels. We've been listening to the teachings of Jesus, the stories of miracles. And our theme this summer has been surprised by Jesus. 4 months. Are we still surprised by Jesus? That was a concern of mine. Could we still be surprised by Jesus after 4 months? Can you still be surprised by Jesus after decades of following him? Are we still open to surprise? Do we believe this Jesus cannot be exhausted, but God's word is living and active? I hope these verses from Mark today can surprise us again. Let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite seat at home, a chair or a sofa that you just sink into? It's your favorite spot? Does anyone have a chair or a couch like that? It's your comfort zone? Yeah? Lead you? I know you do. Believe it or not, there's a more comfortable seat that we've all sat in. Yeah. It whispers our name. It says, come on up here, sit down, get cozy. This is a comfortable seat. We've all sat in it. It's called the judgment seat. These stories from Mark tempt us to get cozy in the judgment seat, to look down at those teachers of the law for their sinful ways. But here's the truth. The judgment seat is not a couch or a two-seater. There's not room for more than one. And the judgment seat is already occupied. There's not room for you or me. The prophet Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. His long robe filled the temple. And in Revelation, John says, there in front of me was a throne in heaven, with one seated on it. And that one is not you, and it's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice in our reading that Jesus sits down in the temple? He takes his place on that seat. And everyone is before him. No one sits down next to him. We're all before Jesus, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the righteous and the sinner. We all stand together before the Lord Jesus. So can we agree that the judgment seat is occupied this morning? And we're all in this together? Okay. Good. Eugene Peterson writes this, the gospel is never about someone else. It's always about you, about me. The prophet Nathan says to King David what he says to each of us, you are the man, you are the woman. Yes, this story from Mark is about the teachers of the law. It's about the rich donors and the poor widow. But it's also about us. It's about each of us. So let's let Jesus have the judgment seat. What about these teachers of the law? What does Jesus see them doing? First, they like to walk around in long robes. Did they just get out of bed or something? Why do they walk around in long robes? Because they want to feel important. They want to seem large. They want to be visible. They want to be seen by others. Now, maybe we don't walk around in long robes to be seen. But we're not that different from these teachers of the law. Each person in this room wants to be seen. We have a deep desire, a deep need to be seen, to be known, to be recognized, and to be called by name. If I'm playing with my one-year-old son, Oliver, and my three-year-old, Asher, sees, he says, "Dad, look over here, look at me." Asher wants to be seen. We all want to be seen. Jesus continues, "The teachers of the law like to be greeted with respect in the market. They love to have the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to have the place of honor at dinners." They want respect. They want to be appreciated and affirmed. They want to be loved. We're not so different than these teachers of the law. Each one of us has these same desires, these same needs. To be told we're worthy, to be told we're good enough. Some of us maybe didn't hear that when we were young, and we're still wanting to hear it, and we're still trying to prove that we are good enough, that we are worthy of love. We all have that need. Jesus continues, "The teachers of the law say long prayers to show off." Why? They want to be heard. We're not so different than these teachers of the law. Each one of us has a deep need to be heard, to not be ignored, to not be dismissed, to not be silenced. I wonder if some of us have felt ignored. I wonder if some of us feel like we don't have a voice in this country, in this new language. Each one of us wants to be heard. And God has put these needs in each of us. These are good needs, good desires. And they're meant to point us beyond ourselves, point us to the one who can meet each of these needs. But these needs and desires can lead us down the wrong path, to seek an audience we think will meet these needs. That's what Jesus warns us about in this story. That's why these teachers of the law are an example for us, to watch out. Don't be like them. Don't fall into that trap, because you will never be satisfied by the audience they seek. You will never meet your needs. But the teachers of the law keep trying. They even use their authority to demand to be seen and heard and respected. They use their power to take advantage of others. They take over the houses of widows. They stand on top of the lowly to make themselves large. Jesus says, don't live for a human audience, because the Lord already sees you. The Lord already knows you. The Lord already hears you. The Lord already loves you. And to help his disciples understand, Jesus lifts up the example of this poor widow. This poor widow has the same needs as those teachers of the law, the same needs as each of us. But she's in a very different spot in life. She's at the bottom of society's ladder. The teachers of the law are at the top. She's mostly invisible to people. She has almost no money. She has no voice. But this poor widow is also a Jewish woman. And she comes to the temple to pray and to give her offering. And she has heard from God's word and the law and the prophets. She's heard about the God who sees, who knows, who listens, who loves. She's heard the story of Hagar in Genesis. Hagar is an Egyptian slave. She's the servant of Sarah. But Sarah sends her away with her son Ishmael. Hagar is a refugee and a single mom. But the Lord speaks to Hagar, And the Lord gives, and Hagar gives the Lord a name. She calls the Lord the God who sees me. The God who sees me. And this poor widow has heard throughout the scriptures that the Lord stands up for widows, that God is in his holy temple. He takes care of widows. The Lord tears down the proud person's house, but he keeps the widow's property safe. The Lord who rules over all says, "Let your widows depend on me." This poor widow may be invisible to others at the temple, but she is not invisible to God. She is not invisible to God, and she knows it. She knows that she lives each day before God's face. She's not living for some other audience. She's not tempted like the teachers of the law. She knows the Lord sees her. Jesus says this in Luke's gospel. People who are ungodly run after all those things, food and clothes, but also affirmation and honor and respect and love. We all run after those things. But your Father knows that you need them. We all do. But put God's kingdom first. Those other things will be given to you. Little flock, do not be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell what you own. Give to those who are poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Store up riches in heaven that will never be used up. There no thief can come near it. There no moth can destroy it. Your heart will be where your riches are. Some of you know Kurt Schaefer. He's a member here at COS. He teaches economics over at Calvin College. And I emailed Kurt. I said, "Kurt, how do you read Mark 12? What do you see that's going on here?" And he said a lot of helpful things, but this stuck with me. I think he got it from a commentary, but here's what he said. He said, in Greek, the words actually read, "She threw in her whole life." That's a better translation. She threw in her whole life. She didn't just give some money. She threw in her whole life. Friends, it's not about the amount of money. It's about what the money reveals of her heart. That her life itself is the real offering. That's why Jesus can say that the poor widow has put in more than all these other rich people. Her life is the treasure, and she is offering it freely to God. She is a living sacrifice. She is dependent on the God who sees her. She is trusting that this God hears her prayers. She is resting in the God who promises to provide for poor widows. A little while later, we'll bring forward an offering. We do that each Sunday. Maybe it's $1. Maybe it's $200. Whatever it is, are we giving our whole life? Are we throwing our life in as well? Or are we just giving some amount of money? Where our heart is depends on who we're living for. Who is our audience? Henry Nouwen writes this: "Who am I? I am the beloved." That's the voice Jesus heard when he came up out of the Jordan River. "You are my beloved. On you my favor rests." And Jesus says to you and me that we are loved as he is loved. Did you get that? We are loved as Jesus is loved. The same voice is there for you. And when we're not hearing that voice, we cannot be free in this world. We'll be living for another audience. There are many other voices speaking loudly. Prove that you're beloved. Prove that you're worthy. Prove that you have something to offer. prove that you're good enough. Make a name for yourself. Get some power, at least then people will respect you. Friends, how often do we live for the wrong audience when Jesus already sees us? Jesus already hears us. Jesus already loves us. And when we know that, when we live from that, we're free. We're free, really free. It changes the way we live and act, as we heard from the prophet Jeremiah. It can really change us. We're free to live before God's face alone, before an audience of one, because we have nothing to earn and nothing to prove. We're free to give generously and humbly because we already have all things in Christ. And here's the really beautiful part, because it's not just about us and God. When we know that Jesus sees us, we can see others. Our eyes are opened to the world God loves. We can hear the voice of the voiceless. We can love every person. We can seek their good. Jesus sees us, so we can see those who feel invisible. We can hear those who feel voiceless. We can love those who feel unworthy. At the beginning of Mark in chapter 1, Jesus calls his first disciples. Jesus is walking and he sees Simon and Andrew. He says, "Come, follow me." Then Jesus sees James and John and he says, "Come, follow me." Jesus has seen these disciples and called them by name. And that's why at the temple, Jesus can say, "Look, see this poor widow. See her." When we are seen by Jesus, the poor widow is now visible to us. Our eyes are opened. And we see how wrong it is that she's down to her last penny. This poor widow shouldn't have to give away her last bit of money just to make an offering. That is wrong. There is something wrong. These teachers of the law are taking advantage of vulnerable people like her, and that's wrong. The systems of power that make the rich richer and the poor poorer are not part of God's kingdom. So we lament. We lament this. We lament that we live in a broken world. Even in this room, it embarrasses me to know that some struggle to pay their rent each month when I have more than enough. That breaks God's heart. Will it break ours? Will we really see each other and listen to each other and love one another? It's a challenge for me and for you. It's tempting to just take a seat in the judgment seat, to judge that rich person who drives the nice car, or to make assumptions about the person begging on the street corner. But Jesus is on the judgment seat, and the rest of us are in this together, whether we're rich or poor, young or old. Whatever place we occupy in life, we're in this together. We live together before God's face. And in Jesus, we've been brought together to see one another, to hear one another, to love one another, and to show the world a different way. We are in God's temple. We are God's temple together. Will we live and act differently? Will we change the way we live? My prayer for us is that we would have the eyes to see each other, because we know deep down we are seen by Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.